Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up! We're gonna come in gently today, aren't we?
Pick your mic up.
That's why I put my mic on, didn't it?
Bryn's a bit jet lagged from his drive home from Swansea.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a time difference there. It's got to be, surely.
Yeah, you go back to 1960s when you go through Port Talbot.
I know. All that way of a promise of a free lunch.
You're gutted about this, aren't you?
I'm really gutted.
Right, if the organiser of this thing that Bryn's been to are listening today, next time, don't make him hangry. It's led to this... he can't be arsed now. You'll get into it.
I'm sure I will. I wanted to say
a big thank you to initial reactions to Big Sesh that we've had. Mm-hmm. And we've had, you know, people just like the Eureka sharing it. Obviously, Gav at Dirty Carrot and the Westgate Lot sharing. And we had a lovely message from some of the bands, and we particularly from the Rogues, mm-hmm. who said they were a bit taken aback that we'd shouted them out. But no, we enjoyed your music. And I think that's what it's all about for us, isn't it? And, you know, hopefully that's what happened last year. And it's connected us with some new bands, isn't it?
Nice to know that theme can continue for us as well. And kind of picked up on from last year.
Definitely.
About, right, let's really, you know, shine a light, carry the torch.
It's a song, isn't it?
Love Shine a Light.
Love Shine a Light.
That's the one that won Eurovision.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And that's not long till Eurovision?
Not long till Eurovision.
We've got our night. We're all free, aren't we? We're going to watch it with the girls, aren't we?
Yes.
And also, there's another festival in the offing for us, isn't there, as well?
There is.
Potentially. We're going to try and work it out. Yeah. We'll say it now because people are going to look into it, but Devorden Festival's coming up, which is near Cheltenham.
Chepstow. It's close to Chepstow. Close enough.
Oh God,
it's a C and H. So
just want to give up. Both have races as well, don't they? Chepstow races, Cheltenham races.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a lot in common. But Devorden Festival, Devauden, and I can't remember if we mentioned on the Big Sesh pod, but some of the guys who run the Badger's Den the Badger's Den at Big Sesh are going to be running a stage, aren't they, at Devorden?
Yeah, and that I guess leads into my challenge.
It does. Yes.
Cool. You look surprised. Then I did a segue. So I guess if I was to do a stage, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Our stage. What would it be like? So I've gone for an outdoor theme.
Yep.
It's going to be a pirate ship.
Okay, cool.
With a bit of a cutout, and the cutout will be the deck, and that will be where the stage is.
Ah, okay. So, well, like a cut through of a pirate ship, is it?
Yeah, so you still see bits going on in and out. So obviously bands will sing, and then every now and again, and we're in control of this. So there's a button which fires a cannon. It's only a cannon for like confetti and glitter. But when that happens, the pirate's ship is on a pendulum, so it swings. So as the band's singing, they're actually going like a pirate ship. And then the other thing, so for us, I don't know why, I think like almost Anton Deck style. Like during sets, we'll just pop up.
Doing what?
During the act.
Yeah.
We'll just pop up in different areas of the ship where people can see us.
Ahoy!
So literally. So like one of us will be steering, and then I thought, every now and again, you can be in the bird's nest doing a DJ set.
Oh, that'd be class. Right, I would love that. Top. I used to be a DJ, people, so I would literally get the place going.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that's what our stage would
that'd
be.
That'd be cool.
And the cannons would be going off. No, I'd be going wild with fire. It'd be like Rammstein.
I think after we've had a few beers, we'd go full Rammstein.
You'd have a really like chilled out band playing, and then I'd just like fire cannons off.
What's the dream headliner? Would it be Rammstein? Imagine them on a swinging pirate ship.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of planned it for our guests, so it'd be it's kind of the Rusty Shackle style.
I kind of feel like that would be a good stage.
Yeah,
that would be a good stage.
And also I thought, because I don't know what the netting thing's called, but I just give Ellis free rein.
Oh, you could just climb, couldn't he? He likes to climb, doesn't he?
Yeah, and swing.
Let's go on to Mike.
Yeah, please.
And kind of topical, what's been going on lately. You asked me to pick out my favourite vinyl, which and just go back through. It's difficult, really. I realised like how many I've got. Some have been given to me, you know. So I remember my dad giving me the War of the Worlds vinyl and saying, listen to it with your headphones and the lights off. So that took me back to doing that. I remember like going to my bedroom, turn the light off and just putting the headphones on. It's a very sexual pod today, isn't it? No, to listen to War of the Worlds. And yeah. So I was thinking about that. I've got a couple of signed ones in there from bands like Shame, mm-hmm. Oh Wonder, which Sarah and I liked and we went to see live. But you know Seaford Mods are my gang. And I've actually got their latest album, UK Grim, which I can't stop playing, by the way. I pre-ordered it. It's up on my bookshelf in the living room. Sarah keeps saying, to be fair, she actually likes the cover. She thinks it's great. But like, I did like get a signed...
It's like alongside your family photos.
I know. It is next to Nora's Christmas photos. Right by Blind Boy's book as well, actually. But yeah, that one, because it had his autograph and things like that mean a lot to me as well. But yeah, like I had a Rolling Stones album given to me by Nan and Bamp and a Carpenter's box set. So that links me to my Bamp who passed away. Yeah. So they're always good. But I think in terms of my personal favourite will be that, because A, they smashed it on the latest album, and B, to have Jason's signature for me as a bit of a hero to me is a big deal. So, and obviously Record Store Day just passed, and we've got a couple of things we want to touch on, and probably in Seagull Corner,
yeah.
Yeah. But let's invite the next lot on, is it?
I've got a story to tell you.
Tell me the story.
About an evening I went on recently. And it was in winter a few years back. But oh, what a night. Late December back in 63. What a very special time for me. As I remember, what a night. Oh yeah, what a night. You know, I didn't even know her name. But I was never going to be the same. What a lady. What a night. Oh, I got a funny feeling when she walked in the room. And, as I recall, ended much too soon. Oh, what a night. Hypnotising, mesmerising me. She was everything I dreamed she'd be. Sweet surrender, what a night. I'm having fun here. I felt a rush like a rolling ball of thunder. Spinning my head around, taking my body under. Oh, what a night. Oh, I got a funny feeling when she walked in the room. As I recall it, it ended much too soon. Oh, what a night.
Why did it end too soon, bro?
Why did it take so long to see the light? It seems so wrong, but now it seems so right. What a lady.
He is going to do it all.
What a night. Oh, I felt a rush like a rolling ball of thunder, spinning my head around, taking my body under. Oh, what a night. Do, 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 do. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a night.
So, ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking
Pet Shop Boys.
Some of Pet Shop Boys. I was going to say Eurythmics. Don't know why, but...
I thought you were going to stop me.
No, I just let you go.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it.
It reads like a story, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, we're covering today, aren't we? Frankie Valli.
Yep.
The Four Seasons, because by the time this podcast, about a fortnight ago, took the ladies.
We did.
To the Wales Millennium Centre.
Treated them.
Continuing my journey into musical theatre.
Yeah.
To watch Jersey Boys. Now this one, well, to be fair, I loved Les Mis, but this one was right up my street in terms of just the music, the story.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd talk a little bit about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons Day and linking it into Jersey Boys. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, go and see it, because it is class. But we've also since learned that the way the story is laid out is pretty much how it happened.
It's pretty much, yeah. So I put the link in about it. But it does seem to follow as is.
Yeah.
For the looks of it, anyway. Yeah.
And they're just Frankie Valli was from New Jersey, wasn't he? And, you know, he got together with, Tommy DeVito, wasn't it? And they were basically like, they talk about they were singing under a street lamp, wouldn't they? Yeah. They would sing covers. Mm. They'd sing in like bars, and it would very much be, you know, covers and stuff. And rough, tough upbringing. Yeah. I think it was in the words of Tommy DeVito, I've got in front of here, there was only three ways you could get out. You could join the army, you could get mobbed up, which is like joining the mob, or become a star.
Become a star, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's actually what he says in the musical.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's kind of, they are epitomising the American dream, you know, from Italian immigrants, you know, probably, you know, and settling in New Jersey. and just probably dreaming of a way out, because they did hang out with, like, they had ties to the mob.
Yep.
And they, a couple of them spent some time in prison. Thinking, don't want to give too much away about Jersey because people are watching it, but I think they've been close to death a couple of times, haven't they, and seen death.
Yeah. Oddly, there's the link with Joe Pesci as well.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Random and, verified by Frankie Valli. I've listened to a few podcasts of just how he hung around with them.
Well, he actually is responsible for them to properly make, because he introduced Bob Gaudio to them. Mm. And he, because Bob Gaudio wrote his own music, didn't he? And that's where they then became stars, because they were doing original material and they could get onto the radio. But yeah, just your reflections on the show. You'd seen it before, hadn't you? But
I mean, it's the third time I've seen it.
Yeah.
For me, I just enjoy the music. But I was watching the drummer quite a lot, because he doesn't go upset.
Yeah.
Like, he's on stage the whole time.
Yeah.
And just, they kind of include him here and there in some bits. But, and you know, I know you reflect on it, but it's how much they're made up to actually look like them.
Yes. Very surprised.
How well done that is. But I forgot how it started. I think it's that. It is the version, the 90s version, which I think I said went to like number 14.
Did it? Like a remix dancey sort of hip-hop version.
And that's how it started. But then it showed like almost the timelessness of that music and how, you know, like Elvis, a little less conversation. You know, you can adapt it, you can make it modern. And some of it, that's something I know Frankie Valli sort of reflected on, how he changed his voice as the generations.
Yeah, that's right.
He altered some of his singing styles some bits to meet the generations as he was growing up.
Ah, interesting. So, he was saying, like, I think, you know, going back to like the Pesci stuff and things, which is interesting, because from there they make it famous and they do tell this story very well. Pesci, I think, at the time is working a bowling alley that they're going to sing in.
Yeah.
But what I did find, I just found this morning, funny enough, I was just doing a bit of research, that some of the links then off the back of them having sort of ties to him. So Pesci, when he starred in The Goodfellas, he took the name Tommy DeVito, because Pesci was friends with Tommy DeVito, a member of the group. And to take the inside joke even further, at one point in the film, one character confronts another by saying, "Who the hell do you think you are, Frankie Valli or some kind of big shot?" But that was actually because they knew each other.
Yeah.
But it was that mob tie. And I watched an interview with Frankie Valli, a much more recent one. We've obviously, all the links are there. And there was a film created, wasn't it, off the back of the music, off the back of the musical.
Yeah.
And he's been interviewed and he's asked, because I think Clint Eastwood directed it, but he said, "What do you think of it?" He said, "I didn't like it." Because he was saying, like, in the musical, we give flavours of like the ties to the mob and how tough the upbringing was. He said, and that's all true. He said, and in the film, I would have expected them to have a bit more license to go into that side of it a bit further. And he was also annoyed that it wasn't recorded on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Because he was like, with his voice, especially when going through the 60s, you get that Beach Boys vibe, don't you? Like the falsettos and the harmonies and stuff like that. But he's very proud that it's East Coast music, isn't it? But you said the same. The film didn't leave an impression on you, really, did it?
Yeah, and I know I felt it could have been a lot, like, especially with Clint Eastwood, a lot darker than it was. You know, it was just almost a bit of a happy musical. There were some bits, you know, with like relationship breakup and stuff. But I know in another interview I listened to on a podcast with an ex-mob member, which is
you said about that,
Hollywood mobs. It was called something like that. And he was saying just how he wanted the actors to be from that area.
That's right.
You know, and to really be realistic, having grown up in the area, don't need to put on the act. You know, the accent's authentic.
Yes.
We talk about authenticity quite a lot.
It's a cool accent, the New Jersey one as well, isn't it? Like, you do think of mobsters, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
So, sorry to people from New Jersey, but that's just the voice you associate with it. It's a cool voice. But again, we talk about authenticity and names being important. And I love the fact, like, how they come across the name The Four Seasons, because they were called The Four Lovers. And then they auditioned for a job, literally singing at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And they were turned down. But they show the scene where they look up at the sign, don't they? And the bowling alley's called The Four Seasons. Yeah. So they take that name. And then Bob Gaudio and Frankie Valli, then they trademarked it in 1962 when they actually signed their record deal. And that's when they start getting their string of hits. So, like, again, that's another thing the musical shows you when you go and watch. You think, I probably only know Oh What a Night Covers.
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
Yeah. You know a lot of their music. Because, like, Sherry, Walk Like a Man, Big Girls Don't Cry. Even, like, I Love You, Baby. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a that, like their song.
Yeah.
Begging. Is Begging. It Begging You? Because that was another one that got remixed, wasn't it? Mm. Like in the 2000s, I think. Or that
one was one, again, with a podcast, went viral on TikTok.
Did it?
And in an interview with Frankie Valli, he said, they said, oh, have you heard of TikTok? And he said, who's that?
He chose a group, did he?
Yeah. But yeah. So like where, you get clips of music, I don't use it, but there's clips of music that suddenly turn into a dance craze.
And that's right.
Apparently Begging was one. That did that.
So what's on that Talkie Tiki, is it something like that?
Yeah.
Imagine we have to get getting involved.
No.
this
if
takes
someone wants to do it for us, feel free, but I am not doing that. Instagram's enough.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think they as well, just like the story itself, Tommy DeVito plays a big part in it, doesn't he? Because it's kind of like sort of his group at the start, and Frankie Valli, he finds Frankie, doesn't he? And he obviously realizes that Frankie's got the voice that can maybe take them places.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this actually yesterday, weren't we? How money and what that can do to people who are from tough backgrounds, not used to having that kind of cash, and that it can change things and send things a bit sour. And it kind of did for them, didn't it? Because I think the fame, probably brought them some of the best times of their life, which the song "Oh War and I" comes from, doesn't it? It's about Bob Gordio.
Yeah, but initially it was written, they were going to sing about Prohibition.
That's right, you said about that, didn't you? Yeah. But he wrote it after spending a night with a dancer or something, wasn't it? But yeah, anyway. But Tommy DeVito was kind of taking the money and not paying the taxes. Mm-hmm. They were having help from a guy who was in the mob, wasn't he? A guy who ran a bar. He was helping him out with cash. But obviously they're not the kind of people you want to fall behind in payments to. Yeah. And then he was, you know a bit more on this, but he was sort of exiled to Las Vegas, wasn't he, from the group? Yeah. But he always claims that was voluntary,
that
wasn't it?
Yeah. He claims, why, if I was exiled, why would I be in the clubs and why would I be playing golf?
Yeah.
But he was basically, taken there so that the mob could keep an eye on him to make sure he didn't do anything else. But here's just the fact that Bob and Frankie just took on that debt and said, fine, we'll... And just worked and worked and worked and worked just to pay off the debt. And the number of people probably seeing them, not realising, they've done back-to-back shows for so many days.
Yeah.
But actually they weren't getting a penny.
Yeah. And basically, you're sort of like their ticket money.
Yeah.
It was going to funding the mob, basically. Yeah, or paying the mob back.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. We were just sort of like talking about, you hear all sorts of stars get involved in things, especially if they, like we talk about footballers, don't we? Mm. A lot of footballers from South America, the stuff with Adriano, wasn't it? He was going to be the next, he was already the biggest thing. Mm. He was amazing. I remember the time Pro Evolution Soccer coming out and you could shoot basically from anywhere with him and he would go in and he was fast. Then he ended up back in the favelas and ended up in gang culture. There was Higuita, the goalkeeper, the Colombian goalkeeper. Yeah. He got involved with it, wasn't it? And you do hear that money, if you're not savvy, not switched on to it, it can be the best thing in the world, but it can also present, can't it, a lot of, a lot of difficulties as well. So, it's just, I thought that was an interesting point that these guys had come from, you could call it the gutter, couldn't you? But and they made their way up, and then, how friends can drive people apart a little bit. Yeah. You've got the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's like they're one of the biggest examples, aren't they? At the height of their fame, really, they should have gone on, but they couldn't.
Yeah.
Money had changed them, hadn't it? You know what I mean? And they changed their lives. So, but I thought the show was done very well. So, I would recommend anyone to go and see it. But I'm kind of like intrigued on the film now, just because of what people have been saying about it.
Yeah, I know. We went to the cinema. We took Charlotte's mum for her birthday to see it. And we were all a bit like, it's all right.
Yeah.
But not, we've seen the musical 3 times. So I haven't seen the film once. Well, yeah. Twice, even. I've seen it once. But
probably can't even remember much about it. But
I just want to, just going back to the mob, it's interesting, again, something that Frankie Valli said was that they worked very hard to make sure the media didn't find out if any members of the band had been in prison before they got famous, because they said that would absolutely tarnish them.
Yeah.
Which is just really, interesting about hiding parts of your history.
Yeah, because you with authenticity.
Yeah. And that's what they were saying, they were saying about, but they've literally hidden, a darker side of themselves.
Do you find that a lot in your work as well? Do you see that with people where it's like almost like a reluctant
to... Yeah, it's harder to talk about those sort of bits. Bits you've done wrong, things like that, because they think, oh, well, you're going to be judged.
Yeah,
you
of course.
You go to prison, you say, right, we've done something wrong, and it's forever over your head.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, just I think an interesting thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because that's it. They wanted a clean cut image.
That's right, because they were in suits, weren't they? Looked the part, didn't they? Yeah. That's really interesting. Mm. And which I wondered as well from like the mob's perspective, because obviously they had good friends in the mob, people who helped them get going in their career, how they felt about that. They're probably quite happy about it. Do you know what I mean? But it's also, there was parts of people being in the mob who, it's like anything, isn't it? If you're doing something, sometimes you do want your name. Yeah, I run this city, you know, like, and it is that ego bit kicks in. Like, I've watched countless documentaries about, like, the gangs of Chicago and New York and stuff. It's almost like, keeping your head down, loyalty, family and all that's important, and making sure it's, like, you know... But then there's other parts where they do want to exert their power and let people understand...
We're here.
Well, Frankie Valli is only up there because we gave him cash to go up there and do it.
Obviously. But you had another mob that tried to claim that they found them first.
Was there?
Yeah.
Is that off that documentary? Is that off that pod as well?
No, it's one of the links, actually.
Ah, okay.
I put in, yeah. Yeah, and actually, yeah, there was, I can't find the full thing, but apparently they claimed that one of the they were one of their first managers. So there was a bit of a set to about actually who owned them or who did this, who did that. But I'm right that Bob and Frankie Valli sort of quite early registered their music, didn't they?
They did, So they registered the trademark of the name. I think Bob was the one who was switched on, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think he came from a different style of upbringing.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was... Because they show a little bit of this, don't they, in the musical. When he comes across, he's like, no, I'll be retaining the songwriting records. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff. Because he's also thinking, he was already thinking ahead of covers and if other people wanted to work with him and that kind of stuff. But, he just seemed to bring that bit of profession, which I think clashed with Tommy then, didn't it? Because Tommy was a bit more, let's just have fun.
Yeah.
You know, probably living a bit of a mob lifestyle off the back of the music, partying and all of that stuff. But I think Bob was very much like looking ahead, thinking, no, I'm going to retain the rights here. And you think as well, that's quite forward thinking because a lot of the bands from that era, well, they had the piss taken out of them, basically, because the businessmen would come in and see what was happening and go, if you just sign here, you know, and we'll put your music out for you.
Yeah.
But then it ended up being like, Beatles are famous for it and stuff like that, where it was like most of the they didn't own their music. And you see bits of it on Get Back, don't you, where they're bringing in like McCartney has to check off the lyric sheets for the songbooks and stuff like that. And you can see he's so annoyed that like someone else is doing this.
Yeah.
But so that bucks the trend a bit from
it does,
Bob. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we also, like, when we were talking yesterday, it was like, you don't know how literate or illiterate they were. They might just see numbers and
absolutely
think, oh, well, that's the numbers, fine, I'll sign here, not knowing a lot of, you know, I mean, if you read sort of documents like that, it's just full of jargon.
Yep.
You know, they might,
Bob
would probably have been someone who'd read and said, actually, I know what this means.
Yeah, so I'm not happy about it.
No, we're not doing this. Yeah.
I think as well, that's the, it'd be exactly the same for me. I remember with the company car scheme a few years ago, they changed it. I'm very good at looking at a lot of information and understanding, like, whether it, I call it like passing the smell test, whether it don't smell right or don't feel right, sit right. But Sarah's someone who'll sit and read documentation, read and understand it. But me, if I was in front of someone, if I didn't have someone like Sarah or whatever around, I could get bamboozled because I'm just not in, I get excited at the big thing. Yeah. So if they said, we'll give you £1 million.
Yeah.
Like, right, I go, yeah, like, brilliant, I want £1 million. But then underneath it's like, yeah, but we also, like, you've got to wipe your bum with this toilet paper. You're going to be wearing these trainers on telly. Yeah. You've got these commitments to do. You've got the, you
is
know.
Is that why you get all these deliveries? Is that what I've been talking?
There's just a big puppy bringing, bringing sheets and sheets of toilet roll. But talk like a little link off the Beatles as well. So they're saying here in 1964, when Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons were enjoying tremendous success, the Beatles caught on in America. So after 16 US top 40 hits in 28 months, right? The unbelievable happened in the spring of 1965. For the first time since Sherry, an original Four Seasons single failed to reach the top 40.
Wow.
And that was the impact of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Then rock and roll came through, didn't it, off the back of it. So like Rolling Stones weren't far behind and that kind of thing. So they changed, but it's mad. They survived though, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's, and still do almost, like, with things. But, because he mentioned Sherry, it took him 15 minutes to write that.
Did it?
According to Guardia, it took 15 minutes. originally called Jackie Baby. In honor of, okay. Jackie Kennedy.
Wow, but, was it?
That's something they show in the musical. Is that, oh, we've got these four songs we're going to sing. And then he suddenly turns up and says, hold on, where is he?
Oh, that's Roger right.
Turns up.
Yeah.
And says, right, drop one of these songs because this is the one we need.
And yeah. It's funny, right? I'm just thinking of other people, and I know this has probably happened a load of times, but just one that sprung to mind from the Supersonic film with Oasis. Mm. They were in the studio and it had a bit of a block when they were trying to record songs for the first album. And he said, we ordered a Chinese in to have some food, just take a break. And he said, I just had an idea. So I left them. He said, and in the time it takes, four or five blokes to eat a Chinese, he wrote Supersonic. And that was the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Like, so it's mad when inspiration hits. You know, and I think, like, what songs from that year in particular, and the reason that they last is because they're so catchy. Like, you know, you hear them once, you know the words, the melody's good.
Yeah,
you
the drum beat I'm listening today is very similar in each song.
Is it?
They've got a very similar bass line, very similar drum
signature.
Beats. Signature. Yes, that signature, you know. Yeah, and also the fact that, yes, the drummer who sings on Oh What a Night.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. I was like, yeah.
I think it's
Frankie Valli just appears now and again.
Yeah. He ends up doing, I think, the harmonies, doesn't he, on it and stuff in the back. But his thing at the time, because I was reading here that they... his voice could cover three falsettos. Three octave range. So while today's music industry, that's like sort of normal now.
Yeah.
He had a remarkable range for the time. So he could easily hit high notes like his voice breaking. He had no formal vocal training. So he was just doing it off instinct and talent. And he taught himself to sing by doing impressions of other artists like Rose Murphy and Dina Washington. And he cultivated that falsetto sound, which you hear a lot now. Yeah. But you think about it, people used to hear him, didn't they? And didn't know if he was a man, woman, what colour he was.
Yeah.
You know, like, and because obviously people would only hear it through radio or if they saw him locally in the clubs or whatever. Yeah. So they said, like, because I think the one radio partner is like, is it a man? Is it a woman? I don't know, but we love the song. And they were saying there was like one time where, I can't remember what song, was it War a Night or one, where they just kept playing it over and over and over.
It was either that or it was Sherry Baby, where he
might
said,
have been
like,
that
I
one.
Love it so much, I'm going to keep, and it's like 14 times on repeat. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like I think coming to the end, like really, trust me, get a Frankie Valli playlist on and the Four Seasons, because it will cheer you up, it put you in a good mood. And just the fact as well, let's just finish on this. They've been inducted in the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 1990. They show that on the musical, don't they, which is really cool to see. But from 1962 to 1978, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons sold over 100 million records. That's just bonkers.
Yeah.
All right. But any closing thoughts from you?
Just listen to them.
Just go back and have a listen and go to the show.
If you can go to the show. I know it's just finishing Cardiff. I don't know where it's going next, but it tours quite regularly. So.
Yeah.
Go and have a watch.
Seagull. Corner. Man! It was the look at me first.
I know. I was like, are you going to do it or am I going to do it?
Hope everyone's ears are still working. Or just a little
it's fine. It's fine. I should have whispered it. For a while, so everyone just turns it up and they just absolutely scream. Then,
yeah,
I can't hear
that.
I can't hear. It's like the adverts, isn't it? When you go and make a cup of tea, shout after you.
Shout you like, where are you going? Yeah. Tea bags on offer, yeah. Like a good tea bag. Okay, so Seagull Corner, we've been back out and about.
We have. We've seen some music.
I think you were first. You went to see Friends of Oz.
I went to the A Cappella in Penturk. Lovely venue. Abwaith are playing there soon as well.
Yeah, we were looking at that.
It's like a renovated church to do like pizzas and so I went to see our friends Rusty Shackle. We
did.
And again, I mean, you know, they just blew it off. You know, they blew the roof off. It was absolutely cracking once again. Charlotte was very, very happy that she had another hug off Scott.
Yes, She's one of the biggest fans.
She's fangirling quite a bit now. But I also realised that Rusty Shackle, the band I've seen the most.
Are they?
Yeah, just in front of Seagull Corner, I think.
Are they? Just ahead.
Yeah, but I know obviously it's a Mini Moogman message saying, oh, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great. You know, he's coming along. So, you know, me and Charlotte got there and they were saying, like, oh, there's a support ad. I was like, oh, okay, fine. So, great. And then sat down. I was like, oh, there's a keyboard there. Oh, there's Gav over there.
Yeah.
Didn't even realise. Like, you know, it took about 5 minutes and then it dropped. Like, hold on, it's Joe Kelly, isn't
yeah,
it? Supporting.
Yeah,
and that was really nice. So yeah, hats off to Joe. You know, he's really he really got the crowd going.
Did he?
Really
got good like support.
Yeah,
act,
but
like,
really
yeah.
He was very, he was open as well about some, you know, how they didn't go into detail about how music is a coping mechanism for him.
Okay.
You know, when things are tricky sometimes, you know, as we've said, for a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Music is a go-to, and he really, you know, yeah, fair play to him. But yeah, they were just class.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just a great venue. So, yeah. And then we had Record Store Day.
We had Record Store Day.
The queue was early. I wasn't as hungover.
The queue was a bit longer because we got there a bit later, longer. But we were chilled, weren't we? We had some breakfast, didn't
we had some
and waited.
Breakfast. Yeah.
And Diverse, our friends at Diverse, mm-hmm. and oh, they always manage it well, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, you know, I think within an hour, just over an hour, the shop was open, we were in when we burst, just the atmosphere.
Well, you went in.
Oh, yeah, I was first, right? I picked up yours for you then, didn't I, basically?
Yeah, I
But before, because we were in a bit later, obviously, there's only select titles, but I picked up Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros album Streetcore, which we'd probably do a pod on Joe Strummer at some point, obviously, lead frontman of The Clash. But he did live in Newport for a while. He's a grave digger at St. Willis Cathedral and loads of people around Newport. I noticed when we go in the Murringer, a few of the people there knew him.
Yeah.
You knew and drunk with him. And what did you get? What was your purchase?
So I got Become by Beach House.
That's
so
it.
It's nice. It's a 12 inch, but there's only about 4 songs on each side. So it's proper good quality. But actually, I'm just looking. So they're only 8,000 pressed.
Oh, there you go.
Which is nice. And it's a clear vinyl.
Yeah, mine was a white vinyl. I love that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, for my birthday as well, I picked up CVC, the Cardiff band.
Yeah.
I picked, because I had money given to me, so I bought some like clothes and stuff. But I went to Spillers.
Yeah.
And bought CVC's album, and I didn't realise till I got home and that was a yellow vinyl.
Lovely.
Do like the different colour vinyl.
Done a spoiler saying about your birthday. That's for the next pod.
Is it?
Remember?
But we haven't
had your birthday yet.
That hasn't happened yet.
No, I'm not going to wish you anything until the next one.
That's fine. But no, it's just like I said, getting out, and they had like a little spread on.
They did,
we didn't attack the buffet, did we?
We really should have.
And what was the band that one of the guys works in? We didn't realize Death Hands or Death Grips, was it, or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he played in it and he said, you should get us on. And we're like, we've been trying with it.
Come on.
But we haven't really followed it up properly. So we will get, because we got Graham from Goldie Looking Chain, I think one of the other guys in the band there. So they
have
some stories.
So I think we'll just go in with microphones and lock the door.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, if you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And we want free vinyl.
Please.
Then I saw Pseudocool last week. They had a mini festival, so Tiny Rebel and Newport Market collaborated. Love a bit of collaboration. Two stages outside, they were flicking between the two. And Pseudocool, so I, you know, got to see them and they smashed it. And it was in the sun.
Yeah.
And Sarah came along. Sarah loved it too, because she hadn't seen them, but she'd hear me talk about them and play the music. I played them the new single, The Roller.
Ah,
I don't know if you heard that yet. I was lucky enough to be there.
Not yet.
That's until he releases.
I've been waiting for that.
Until he releases some new stuff, it's going to be the joke, guys.
Like
is that right?
Yeah.
But spoke to them all after, caught up with them, and they've got some t-shirts for us.
Oh,
I was like, we'll give you a couple of quid for them. Kath was like, no, you've supported us. I was like,
and now you said on the pod that they have to.
Well, that's why I did it. So
I heard they're giving us a guitar as well.
Bass amp. Foxglove played too. Now Foxglove played at last year's big sesh.
Yes.
And she is fab. And the guitar player, I can't think of his name now, but fab guitar player as well. Very haunting sort of melodies and stuff. Lovely. Sounded great sitting in the sun, shades on, watching that as well. Small Miracles, they're massive as well. Small Miracles and a couple of others. So again, the Honest Poet. I think we've come across him a few times. He was there. So, so it's nice to be out and about. We're probably the biggest event with Buildos now is the Tiny Rebel Fest.
Yes, and then Devorden.
And then Devorden.
Devorden's before it.
Oh, it's Devorden then?
Then Tiny Rebel,
we're in festival season.
Here
we
go.
We're going to lose it. Yeah. And then next year, we're building the Glastonbury stage.
We're introducing the pyramid.
Any connections out there, let us know.
Let us know.
Oh, Tom Myers invited us to his Bristol Craft Beer Festival as well.
Oh, very nice.
For free, so lots going on.
Let's go.
Diolch yn fawr, Nora, this time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the bit where we set challenges.
It is.
We encourage people at home to do them.
It is.
What have you got for me?
Funnily enough, I was listening to Frankie Van the Four Seasons.
Was you?
Home. Yeah. And this one song, I hadn't heard it before, this one song came on called Moonlight Memories.
Okay.
And all I'd like you to do is listen to it and then just see if it inspires you to just, it might be right, draw... Do something. Just see.
Put it on. See what happens. Is it?
Put it on. See what happens. Yeah.
Cool. Music, bit of drama therapy there, isn't
it? There you go. Yeah. You might want to move to the music. Do what you want.
Yeah. Do you want me to record myself dancing? I'll put a GoPro up.
No.
We have talked when we FIFA one day, recording ourselves play.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
or just mic ourselves up. I don't know.
I'd be quite embarrassed. I think the noises we make in
there. Yeah. But it was the one where, we're going on a tangent.
Yeah,
now.
Sorry.
4-1 down, came back, drew 4-0. But it was
the noise you made.
The music stopped, though, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everything.
With lemon jelly on them, right?
Yes. And then just sat there in silence playing.
And you made a noise, haven't you? Did you make before? And the fourth one went,
I save that for certain people.
Certain situations.
Right, what am I doing?
You've got a busy week, haven't you?
Yeah.
So just to round this Frankie Valli, this weird Joe Pesci link.
Yeah.
Just tell people 3 facts about Joe Pesci that they might not know.
Wonderful.
His because name's Joe. Second is Pesci.
That he knows Frankie Valli enough. Right, that's 2.
I've heard he's had a pretty storied life.
Okay, yeah.
So just tell me a couple of things about him that I don't know.
Okay, so...
Another pod, good one.
Good one.
I think, and especially because it was timely, we were seeing Jersey Boys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And really interesting story, the connections to the mob, Joe Pesci, all of that stuff as well. I'm looking forward to your facts on Joe Pesci next time.
It's fine, I'll find them. But so I also forgot to say, so I went to see Hans Zimmer versus John Williams.
That's right.
Fight to the death. So there's only one left now. I won't spoil it.
Did Darth, because I used Charlotte sent
his
photo.
I had a photo, photo with Darth in a Stormtrooper. So I did go to the dark side. I've come back now, though.
Yeah, back on the light side.
Yeah, enough. But just another touch on my dad and how quick he responds to things.
Oh, yeah.
So me and Charlotte watched some music before going for a Sunday roast. I took a photo, put it in our family group.
Yeah.
Named the location in Bristol. It took my dad, I think about 30 minutes, replied, say, Old Duke.
Was it straight away? What a place, though. Then we went there, didn't we? When we went, we talked about the reflections after the Bristol part of things,
which was a birthday part.
It was.
And our next one.
What a link!
What a link! Our next one, because your birthday hasn't been yet.
Inception. Most of our listeners have said happy birthday to you so far. Don't give it away, huh?
We're always organised.
I know, but we are going to be away.
We are. We're going away. It's an away day.
It's an away day. So we won't reveal.
No, nope, but until we're recording from prison.
But we might be revealing when we're there.
I nearly said it then. I nearly said on that note. No, it's yours.
Until it's a try from me.
A try from me.